Thank you.
Praise God. It is great to be alive in God's house. Amen?
Amen.
Wow, I'm telling you. The worship team did a good job this morning of taking us into the presence of the Lord. Let's give them a round of applause. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It is great to be in the house of the Lord. The great thing is that God's people have the indwelling presence of His Spirit. And I love to see the evidence of the Spirit working. And when He moved in Karen's heart to have us come up to find victory in Christ and moved others to go pray for others, I'm telling you, that's the evidence of the Spirit of God working in the body of Christ today. I encourage you, if you want to have victory, listen to the Spirit, live in the Spirit. And as we learned in Sunday school, we got to keep in step with the Spirit. We got to, whenever He talks, we got to do. We can't just listen. We got to do what He calls us to do. If He tells us to come up for victory, come up. You can't find victory if you stay away from the Lord. You find it in the presence of the Lord. So I encourage you, brothers and sisters, find victory, because that's what Jesus died on the cross for, to give us victory. Victory over sin. Victory over the curse of the penalty of sin and power over sin, that it has no more authority over our lives. I'm telling you, it is a blessing to be in the house of God. I just love coming to church and being with brothers and sisters, because we get to worship the Lord together. And that first song, He's a Waymaker. Ain't it great to know that when you know who God is, you know that He can't change. He's going to forever be the loving, kind God, the miracle worker, Waymaker, light in the darkness. I mean, He's all that and more.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I just love whenever we sing, talk about Jesus. He's writing it down in heaven. Oh, praise God, church. Keep talking about Him. Keep praising Him. I got some events here we got to bring up here before the body. Next week is the last day for sign up for the yard sale. If you want a spot, see Ashley Babel. And the yard sale will be the following week on May 1st. Also, Mother's Day is on Sunday, May 9th. We're having a lunch and dinner after the service. So men, sign up on the sign-up sheets and be able to honor our mothers with a good dinner that day. And let's just enjoy the gifts God gave us in them, because they are blessings. Also, there's an honoring of our graduates for 2021. Praise God. Savannah Hunter is graduating from Northern High School. Praise God. And Brittany Berman from Liberty University. Praise God for their hard work and the rewards God blessed them with. Also, the upstairs kitchen, again, is reminding you of it being updated. Those that want to donate towards the project, give generously, just put on your envelopes kitchen to help accomplish and complete that task. Also, we want to remind those that youth is tonight from 5 to 7, along with adult class for those that want to participate. It will be upstairs here. And young adults is Friday at 6:30 again. So praise God. I hear great things are going on in those classes, and there's challenges of the Lord. So be blessed, hallelujah, church. God bless. And with that, let's give the pastor our plan as we welcome you.
Thank you, Harry. If this time Wendy would come up here, that is you, Wendy. This is coming up, Secretary's Week, and so we want to honor our secretary. Give her a hand. And that is from the church. Now look excited, Wendy. We just thought we'd do a little different this year, because we know how much she likes to be recognized. She put in 20 years. Wow. Thank the Lord. Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17, verses 1 and 2. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying to me, "Come here. I will show to you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the glory for all that you have done. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your touch, Lord God, and we pray that you will continue to touch, continue to minister, continue to help us, Lord, we pray. Father, we love you. We thank you in thy name. Amen. I want us to look today at eternity's cheater, deceiver, and of course, betrayer of the evening. In the scriptures that we just read here, the great whore, that word there refers to all the religions of the world that ever have been, which are devised by man as a substitute for Jesus. We welcome our live stream church and our phone church. God's way is Jesus Christ. God's way is Jesus Christ. Are you with me? The many waters in that verse there, it's a symbol for every large group of people, multitudes. Back in the 1980s, Dan Bechter said, "God's plan for the future is carefully laid out for us in his word." Wow. The next part of this plan includes a major prophetic event, which is the catching away of the church. Wow. Which we understand is called the rapture. The rapture of the church. Every believer, those who have died and those who still live. It's nice to have, where is Sam at? Nice to have Sam with us, and hallelujah. Nice to have you here today. Do you want to say something too? Mr. Sam. Oh, Sam and Sam, that's right. Well, here we go. Every believer, those who have died and those who still live, will be supernaturally caught into the air to meet their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Church, the Bible is very clear. It's very profound. We will meet the Lord in the air. That's what it tells us. We will meet the Lord in the air. No plane, no helicopter, nothing that is derived from any aerodynamic force, nothing that is man-made, nothing. There are some who say that the church will take over the world. That's what some people think. Setting up Jesus' kingdom, and he will then come to this world to reign. Church, I want you to keep this in mind. If you meet any physical Christ on planet Earth, you have met the wrong Jesus. And the reason why is because the scripture tells us that we will meet the Lord in the air, not the earth. Hallelujah. The rapture will be followed on this earth by 7 years of hatred, pain, and intense fear, known, of course, as the tribulation. Then that period will be ended by an infamous battle that is known as Armageddon. Then will come the millennium, which is the 1,000 years reign of Christ on this earth. And Jesus, at that time, returns to earth with all of his redeemed, including the raptured followers who met him in the air. Then following the 1,000-year reign, the millennium reign, God destroys this earth with fervent heat, with intense heat, with piercing heat, that even the elements are going to be destroyed. Wow. And then the great Creator, God, will build a new heavens and a new earth. Are you with me? During the tribulation, that 7-year period, there will emerge a false religious system. False. Mentioned, of course, in the book of Revelation as Babylon, the great harlot. The false church is represented in Scripture as an unfaithful and wanton woman. On several occasions, the Bible uses the imagery of a woman to represent a religious system. In Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 5, Israel is pictured as the wife of Jehovah. In Hosea chapter 2 and chapter 3, Israel is portrayed as an adulterous woman. In Revelation chapter 12, the persecuted woman is end time Israel. And then the church at Corinth is a chastised, modest, pure virgin in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. And in Revelation chapter 19, the church of Jesus Christ as a whole is called the bride of Christ. So there will be two wildly unequal different groups referred to as rival women during the end times, the end days. Number one will be the bride of Christ already caught up in the rapture to be with Jesus. The second one will be the apostate, the deserter, the defector, the traitor, the false church, the great harlot known as Babylon. This scheming, this here's conniving lady of the evening will have ruling power, have superiority over many peoples, many multitudes, many nations, and many tongues. In Revelation chapter 17 verse 2, what we read, reveals that the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Dan Baxter said this. This simply means that during the tribulation, the political systems will have great use for the religious system. The world will love this church. The unbelieving will love this church, and this church will love the world. Church, I want you to be aware of any teaching today that treats real superiority with acceptance by the world system. It's not by the world system, not at all. That is an antichrist position. It is a position that will be the iron rule during the tribulation. The false doctrines and the teachings of the harlot church will make the people of earth completely indifferent or numb to the call and the commands of God. And this church system will be characterized or defined by immorality, by dishonesty, by corruption, by unethical or crooked ways. You see the picture already, I believe. Revelation 17:4 gives us another important detail. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. In simple words, it's this. The false church system will have a marvelous external appearance. One of glory, one of greatness, one of splendor, and one of magnificence. People will behold her as marvel. But inside her declares the word, and it will be teachings and doctrines that are spiritually and morally corrupt. The cup is golden, it says, but the contents in that cup are poison. Church, don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed or frightened by the devil's devices or snares, by the externals, by the false, and by the superficial. Great buildings are not always great churches. You understand that? Great buildings, the big millions of dollar churches, does not mean they're a great church. Because there are churches that are without floors. There are churches that have no walls. There are churches that have no light and electricity all around this world. Material successes do not always equate or does not always identify with spirituality. The question then is this. What's on the inside of it all? Wow. That's what you are going to have to determine, and you will have to decide. And it is done by using the Word of God as your measuring rod. That's what we measure it by, His Word. The question that needs answered today, I believe, is, but why Babylon? Why Babylon? And to find out the answer, we must go back into the church history books. And in our studies, we learn that ancient Babel, or Babylon, was founded by a man named Nimrod. Wow, probably heard of it. Nimrod was the great-grandson of Noah. Noah had one member of the family who never really accepted what God said. So keep this in mind. His name was Ham. Now you're getting hungry. His name was Ham. He was known as the Dark One. And it wasn't because of the color of his skin. His darkness was one of the soul. Ham had a son named Cush, who was the father of Nimrod, who was the traitor and the leader of his generation. It was Nimrod who led the people to build the infamous Tower of Babel, a geographical spot that would serve as a rally center for those who did not walk in the obedience of God. From the very beginning of its history, Satan appeared to make Babylon the capital of his evil operation. Tim LaHaye, in his book called Revelation, he said this. From this headquarters was started false religion. Man's attempt for self-government in defiance to the will of God, and city dwellings for commercial and social purposes contrary to the commandment of God to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. These great evils, which have damned the souls of many of millions by substituting counterfeit solutions to man's natural problems that would ordinarily lead him to God. And they will all be destroyed at the end of the tribulation period. So, what Nimrod began way back, so long ago, has been carefully reproduced by false religions of the world to this very day, at this very moment. Wow. It has been said, outside of the Judeo-Christian ethic, which is, of course, having historical roots in both Judaism and Christianity, and the ethics, a system of right behavior, right morals, firmly and faithfully based upon the Word of God. So no world religion teaches, keep this in mind, only Christianity, only the Bible teaches it. No world religion teaches the moral standards of God. Wow, they never will, because they are of Satan. Their teachings are built around a loose form of human behavior that permits sensual activities, producing guilt complexes, which are then turned to enslave its people. That's all it will do. In forms of personal self-sacrifice and self-abuse, in the fruitless effort to atone for their own sins. As one man said this, and interestingly enough, these religions are usually bedecked, or other known as decorated, with gold, jewels, and costly apparel. There is, I believe today, in this day and age, a rather well accepted saying among us today, and I believe it's this: it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. Yes, it does matter. Nothing could be further from the truth of that saying. We can see it today, the advancing footsteps of the harlot church. Its subtlety, its cleverness, its apparent materialistic success, all calling out for new followers. The harlot church has a technical buzzword. And the buzzword is unity. Unity. You ever hear that on television? On the news? Unity. Way back into the 60s, they were talking about unity. Why? Peace. We just want peace. From the podium to the printed page, we see and hear that word. And the call for religious unity. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he said this: you cannot have unity without forsaking truth. And to forsake truth for the sake of unity is to betray Jesus Christ. So any religious system which is built upon the eternal foundation, which of course is Christ himself, does not call for turning away from sin and following Jesus. They're not going to tell you to do that. Christianity will tell you. You got to turn from your sins. You got to repent of your sins. It does not call for taking up the cross or discipleship. It does not. It's not of God at all. What are some signs that a person may be under the spell of eternity's lady of the evening? Well, number one, the real church is founded upon Jesus Christ. The real church is. We're not speaking of denominations. Paul told the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 that no other foundation can be laid for our faith than Jesus. No other. The foundation is laid already, and no one can lay another, for it is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus himself even testified that in John 14:6, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus Christ is the pulse. He is the heartbeat of the true church of Jesus Christ. Anything or anyone attempting to replace this basic foundation is Antichrist. Let me remind you that Antichrist will use the harlot church found there in Revelation 17. And they will use the harlot church to help bring the world into his subjection. The greatest question of life then is this. What will you do with Jesus Christ? What will we do with Jesus Christ? Talking today and understanding the things of today. What will we do with Jesus? Jesus, of course, is the key, right? We're here because of him. The second sign is this. The real church is the bride of Christ and is expected to be pure and untainted by the moral corruptions of this world. Let me tell you something, church. You can join the choir. You can sing specials. You can know all the songs. You can put money in the offering plate. You can even say amen. You can go through all the emotions required in some churches. But unless your life is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and you have turned away from your sinful living, you are just as lost as the most wild, uncultivated, uncivilized, morally corrupt person that there is. You can't live like the devil on Saturday and then sing worship courses and act like holy on Sunday. Hello? We cannot do that and expect God to allow you to get away with it. God does not work that way. Not at all. The harlot religions of the world will tell you that you are doing about as well as can be expected. And then pat you on the back and say, you did your best. Wow. Don't worry about it. It will be okay. But God says something different. And God says that without holiness, no man shall see him at all. And he has given us his only son, who in turn gave us the powerful Holy Spirit to allow us to live lives above and beyond the range of sin. The third sign. The real church is expecting to leave this world. The real church is expecting to leave this world. We read about it. Now, right now, I don't feel like I have to go on the first load. Because the dead in Christ are going to rise first, right? And we which remain going to be caught up together with him in the sky, in the air. The real church is expecting to leave this world. My goodness gracious, we sang it years ago, church. And it means just as much today as it did then. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. And we could go on for an hour or so. There's no more dying there. We're going to see the King. Soon and very soon. You see, the harlot church is quite content to stay right here. And while they're staying right here trying to fix things and trying to patch up things, Satan is very clever in this regard. He tells the world how great this new church system is. Wow. Boy, this is something. And you'll never find it any other place. Boy, it's just marvelous. It's great. How powerful it can become. And that the world and the church go hand in hand. That's what he looks at. Man, the church and the world go hand in hand. It never did and it never will, church, go hand in hand. Like reaching the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. The fact is, church, God is going to destroy this earth. He's going to destroy it. With an incredible heat. Even the elements will be dissolved. Wow. Nothing of this current world system is going to remain. Nothing. How many times did Jesus tell us, and it seems like it just doesn't want to penetrate sometimes. How many times did Jesus tell us, my kingdom is not of this world? Wow. We still fail to believe that the real church has a knowledge of approaching eternity, of a real heaven. Hallelujah. And a very real hell. So the real church understands that this present life is all a passing into eternity. I believe that the reality shapes our living, our actions, our thoughts, our desires. I believe that with all my heart. If there is anything I hope I did today, I hope I shook your thinking process. To wake you up to a real world. Too many have been playing a religious game. It's not like we're going to pull out a game, put it on the table and start playing. It's not that at all. But deep down inside, I believe there are people who are very much aware that something is wrong. I believe the world, the unbeliever, I believe they even would believe there's something wrong. Now listen to me, church, and you by phone and live stream. One thing about live stream and phone, they can shut me off. And they can run from it. There is, I believe, no divine spark within some people at all. They're still looking for that, their fine little spark to get them gone, but they know that it's gone and it's been gone a long time. Spiritually, they are dead. You don't need someone to tell that to you. They don't need somebody to do that and say that to you. They know it. They can't pray anymore. They can't read the Bible anymore. They can't sing anymore. The song's gone. And they are beginning to realize that they have been seduced by a harlot. By eternity's lady of the evening. And do you know what the Bible plainly says? They have had a form of godliness, but they deny the power. The reality of what God's word is all about, they deny it. I have good news, though. There's always some time for good news, right? Well, we'll tell you about that next Sunday. No, I'll let you know. Well, good news, real good news here. The Holy Spirit is calling you, saying, come, come to Christ. Come, come to Christ. Come to the life-giving fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's name. You can still come. People can still come. Our loved ones can still come. Our enemies can still come. Begin serving Jesus. And there is still room in the rapture. Every one of us, church, will have to make the choice in closing. Every one of us. Will it be the bride of Christ? Or will it be the harlot of hell? Which one will it be? Because we have to make a choice. Shall we stand? Father, I thank you and I glorify you and I magnify you. Lord, there might be ones that were listening by phone and live stream and even in this here building. It says, yeah, I've lost my soul. I have a hard time just getting to the point of praying. I have a hard time getting to the point of reading the word. I've lost it. And yes, I admit today I'm spiritually dead. It's gone. The joy. And help us, Lord God, today to return unto Thee. To return to You. And with every head bowed and eye closed, and you there at home or wherever you are listening, you can even lift your hand. God sees it. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I need my soul back. I need it back. I've been worried. I put a lot of worry into things that don't happen. I deal with things that it seems like just rips me apart. I have issues. Family. Lord, I've recognized I've lost my soul and I want it back. I want, give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Lord, I need it and I want it. And maybe you're that person. I want you to lift your hand and I want to pray for you. I want you to, yes, thank you. Thank you so very much. Would you just all lift your hands at this time? And you might not have seen them, have seen the hands or not, but there's some hands that went up. And they are calling out for help. And as brothers and sisters in the Lord, would you just start praying to yourself at this time for these ones? Would you do that right now? Would you lift your hands and just pray? You don't need to know their name or anything. Or by phone or by live stream if you've lifted your hand. Would you just take a little time and just pray for them? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you know somebody that is struggling. Maybe somebody that did come to this church at one time and they're struggling and you know about it. Spiritually, they're struggling. Would you just lift up their names? Father, Lord, I pray for these ones that have raised their hands. Lord, it's so easy to get to that point that we don't read your word, we don't pray, that we come even to church and we can't hardly sing. We've lost our soul. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to rob us of that. But Lord, I believe today as we pray and as we come to you and we agree, Lord God, that you will restore unto us the joy. Oh, restore the joy in our hearts. And Lord, for that one that we may be even praying for, that loved one or friend or neighbor or whoever, Lord, restore unto the joy. Lord God, restore it unto them. Lord, let them have that little leap in their spirit. Lord, in their feet even, that you will just help them. Lord, it might be something to them. It looks so big, but to you, Lord God, nothing is too big. And Father, I pray that you'll help them at this time. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, as we as the church, Lord, we want to be that Aaron, and we want to be that that lifts up their hands, their arms, just like they did Moses. Father, I pray right now that you would so move and minister and help us. Bless them, Lord God. Bless them at this time. Bless them, Lord God, that the devil's defeated, the enemy's defeated. And Father, that there is victory. There's victory in Jesus. Father, I thank you for it. I pray your blessing upon everyone in this place. I pray, God, that you'll bless them this week. Minister to them, Lord God. Touch them, we ask. Lord God, we pray. In Jesus, Jesus, Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. God bless you.